Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm happy you joined me this morning. I'm looking out my window here in my office in the acreage here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and the sky is pink, pink, pink. And you know what that means, the old saying, a lot of people say it all different ways, but in essence, it's pink sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Pink sky at night, sailor's delight. So it is about 43 degrees here in West Palm Beach, Florida, which is really cold for us. So I want to make sure everybody knows to dress warm. I had a bit of a thing with my 17-year-old grandson. He couldn't find his hoodie, so I said, let me get something from Grandpa's closet. And he said, Graham, don't be giving me anything from the 80s, which cracked me up since Grandpa was born in the 40s. So anyway, be warm out there. It is chilly for us, and it's a damp cold. Today is Friday. That's the end of our week. And we do a recap of what we've done during the week. I'm going to bring Shell in so she can be involved in this from the very beginning, but I also want to share with some of you a story that I found online early this morning. It is about the young man who killed all those people at Sandy Hook School. And I found it just by accident. I always check first thing in the morning because I never know what happens overnight. And I thought, you know, it's another one of those times when I feel like saying to everybody, you know, don't you listen? You know, I don't understand why when certain things happen, especially in this day and age, and nobody pays any attention, that scares me. I don't know why they're not listening. And this is the perfect example. So, Shell, are you there this morning?
Yes, good morning, Renee.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing real good. And a little chilled to the bone.
Yes,
I took
it
the garbage out this morning, and I had to wear a big, thick hoodie jacket and a scarf, and I still almost froze to death from my front door out to the street.
Yeah, it is really, really chilly. And, of course,
it's funny because as I got to the street, I heard footsteps, and I looked off to my side, and there's this tall guy walking up my block. I don't know where he was walking to. He didn't look like a child. It looked like a man. But he had shorts on, and he was all huddled. And I said, good morning. And he goes, oh, my God, it's so much colder than I thought it was. And he didn't even say good morning back to me. I think he's like in shock.
Yeah, we're
pretty in. 30 degree is like 10 below for people up north.
Well, my computer right now is saying it's up to 45, but that's usually taken over by the airport. But here at my house, it says it's 43 out back. But that's cold for us. And my plants are all looking at me like, ahem, ahem, weren't you supposed to take us inside? And, of course, the cat, she's sitting by the sliding glass doors, and I said, do you want to go out, Lil? And the minute she heard the door move, she was gone like a shot, like, you're not sending me out there. Forget it. So
yep,
we're all
yep.
spoiled, aren't we? We are all spoiled because I know people in upstate New York where I'm from that would be ecstatic with a 44-degree morning.
Oh,
so
yeah.
This story I came across this morning, and I thought to myself, this really happened, and nobody paid any attention to this. Nobody took it seriously, obviously. But it just shows you how much there should always be somebody someplace who's listening, no matter what we're talking about. The man who carried out the Sandy Hook Elementary massacre apparently called a radio station a year earlier to discuss the 2009 mauling of a Connecticut woman by a chimpanzee. The caller, believed to be Adam Lanza, speaks softly on a show on the University of Oregon's campus radio station and blames civilization for the animal's attack. It would be the first known public recording of Lance's voice. The 20-year-old man killed 20 children and 6 adults at the school in Newtown on December 14, 2012. He also shot to death his mother inside their home before driving to the school and took his own life as the police arrived. A person with the username Smiggles describes making the call afterward in a web posting. State police documents refer to instant messages from Smiggles as presumably being the Sandy Hook gunman. A former classmate, Kyle Kromberg, told the New York Daily News that he recognized the voice as Lance's. State Attorney Steven Sedensky said he didn't know whether the caller was Lanza, but that it was a big possibility. In 2009 in Stanford, Charla Nash was blinded, lost both hands, and underwent a face transplant after being mauled by a chimpanzee named Travis, who belonged to her friend. Nash had gone to the owner's home to help lure the 200-pound chimpanzee back inside. But the chimp went berserk and ripped off Nash's nose, lips, eyelids, hands before being shot to death by a police officer. I'm sure we all remember that story. The caller believed to be Lanza said Travis was raised like a child and was highly domesticated, noting he used an electric toothbrush, a TV remote control, and even the computer. Travis was integrated into society, the caller said, recalling the chimp's interactions with humans and his acting in TV commercials. Look what civilization did to him, said the caller, who identified himself as Greg. It had the same exact effect on him as it has on humans. He was profoundly sick in every sense of the term, and he had to resort to these surrogate activities like watching baseball and looking at pictures on the computer screen and taking Xanax. The caller said Travis appeared to be desperate to change his environment. The reason I can think of for why he would want that, looking at his entire life, would be that some little thing he experienced was the last straw, and he was overwhelmed by the life he had. He compared the attack to other random acts of violence. I just don't think it would be such a stretch, the caller said, to say that he very well could have been a teenage mall shooter or something like that.
Oh, my God.
The radio show was, the radio show was hosted by John Zerzan, 70, a fixture of Eugene, Oregon's anarchist community for years. I could not spit that word out. I'm looking right at it, and it would not come through my lips. His books and pamphlets call for a return to the primitive and have been compared to an anti-technology manifesto of Unabomber Ted Kaczynski, whom Zerzan visited in jail. So this man, John Zerzan, 70 years old, was a popular figure in Eugene, Oregon. In hindsight, Zerzan said, it's easy to find statements from Lanza foreshadowing the horrific events to come. But at the time, he had no such impression. He only remembers the call at all because at the time he had not been aware of the chimpanzee attack. I didn't get any hint that he was thinking about being an agent of something like that, Zerzan said. He said that what stood out the most was the caller's discussion of the parallels between what led the chimp to act out and what causes snipers or gunmen to act.
Wow.
These shootings are now daily affairs, he said. Nobody's asking why. What is this telling us about the evolution of mass society in the techno age? Prosecutors issued a summary of the investigation last year that portrayed Lanza as obsessed with mass murders, afflicted with mental problems, but they said Lanza's motives for the massacre may never be known. So I guess this story doesn't answer any questions for it, but it is it does provoke lots of thoughts. And Shelley and I have talked about this shooting on our show on several different occasions because it's, of course, one of the most horrific things that have happened in our time. So the point I guess I want to make is that nobody should take this kind of behavior lightly. Imagine if this Zerzan had paid just a little bit of attention. But then there would have been that follow-through. There would have been, okay, let's say it's me, and I'm worried about somebody. I think somebody is teetering on the edge of the abyss. And I say, I call the local police department. And I say, you know, I have this strange feeling, for what it's worth. You know, I'm 65 years old. I've been around the block a couple times. My history is one of seeing lots of things happen. So I just want to alert somebody who has the authority and the education and the professionalism to maybe check this out and make sure we're going to be okay. How am I going to be treated, Shelley, if I make a call like that?
Pretty much like a nut, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. And now, how sad is that? And I could be a nut. I could be a nut. But if I'm, you know, if it, if there's noise coming from anything, you should turn around and look at it.
I know.
Because
I know.
You don't know what the noise is.
Unfortunately, our judicial system, our courts, our law enforcement, they are so inundated with nonsense. When you look at, you know, I mention this all the time, you know, I always watch People's Court and Judge Judy and, you know, the judge shows because I learn a lot of things about the law from them, so they fascinate me. But sometimes the drama is a little annoying to me. I don't like some of the nonsensical cases that are brought to court, and they annoy me, and you can see that they also annoy the judges because the judges will say, like, why did you even bring this to court? This is the most ridiculous lawsuit I've ever had to listen to. And unfortunately, police and courts are so overly burdened with nonsense, with people calling the police over things that are just bad behavior. It's like, you know what? Deal with it. Why is this something to call the police to your house for? So the police are stretched so thin. The courts are overburdened with things that should never go that far because people don't take responsibility for their actions. They get angry. They get vengeful. I'm going to call the police, and I'm going to get you in trouble, and I'm going to cost you money, and I'm going to sue you. You know, and so many people have that mentality, thinking that bad behavior requires legal intervention, and it's just not the case. So when somebody calls to alert the police, hey, I think something may be happening, then, well, you know what, call me back when something is happening. And that's kind of their attitude, which is sad because a lot of things could be prevented. But who do you go to? Who do you report it to if it hasn't happened, if it's just something that's going to happen?
Well, that's the whole point. And the point is, again, there should be somebody appointed to check out everything. Because you
I'm
don't
thinking
know.
That the FBI would probably be a more appropriate because the FBI does have cumulative studies they do. They have all this these human behavior studies. There's a different word for it. It's not coming to my mind. But, you know, they have, like, these whole behavioral sciences they go through. I'm thinking that if you had a situation like that, and you heard somebody make a comment and you said, wow, this guy is like, he could be a future, you know, mass murderer or something. I think if you reported that to the FBI, there might be somebody who would look into it because they that's what they're all about, is the behavioral sciences and watching how people act, you know. And it might put up more red flags for somebody, for that type of an investigator, over a regular police detective or something like that, who is in more into dealing with the aftermath than in prevention. I think the FBI is the one that's kind of like more out there to prevent things from happening, where the police force is to deal with what's happening presently. And that's just kind of my opinion. I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think that would work.
Well, again, I think that's a, you know, that's a choice, and that that could work, it seems to me. However, have you ever tried to call the FBI?
Actually, no.
Uh-huh. I wanna give you a challenge. I want to challenge Shelley, who is one of the most what's a good word? relentless when she believes something is right, people that I know. I'm going to challenge you to get a hold of somebody at the FBI that isn't just answering the phone.
Okay.
And let's see if it's something that can be done. And if you do make a connection, the reason for calling would be just this. Is there, would there be, if we become advocates of calling the FBI, if we're out there spreading the word that people have to pay attention, that people have to be aware of what's going on around them, and people have to listen when somebody says something to them, whether they're in a show like ours, or they're a teacher, or they're an administrator in a social service atmosphere, or they're the hospital advocate. These people probably hear stories every day. So if we're going to be advocates of this particular nuance when it comes to listening to what's going on, to possibly stop something like that in our future, like another Sandy Hook shooting, like another suicide, see if you can connect with the FBI and find out if there is indeed an ombudsman, any person that would be somebody who takes notes and passes it on to the powers that be.
Okay.
And
I'm
if that's true,
I'm going to
you
take
can
that
tell
on
them.
And...
Yep. You can tell yep. them that we are taking this very seriously and that we will give out that information so that our public understands that there is an avenue that they could follow if they know something that could be harmful and they're talking to deaf ears. They've called the local police department. You know, several years ago, through my position at the Institute, I purchased a prefabricated home through this lovely couple that was situated here in right close by here in Florida. And I met with them usually once a month, and I took payments. I organized the home. We had bought a parcel of land at the Institute to put this home on. I made all the choices, and it was supposed to be delivered. And then a school came in and purchased the land back from us, almost like a, you know, you didn't have a lot of choice. They were going to build a public school, and they get, you know, they get rite of passage, you might say. So we sold it, turned over a good profit and everything. So when I called to say, hold the home a little bit, something happened with the land, I have to find another place to put it, they said, okay, no problem. Well, when the time came for the home to be delivered, this lovely old arsenic and lace couple had absconded with all the money and never paid for the home. So my next avenue was to go to the local police department where this business office was situated. I called these people. In the beginning, they didn't answer the phone. So I went to a phone that wasn't mine and called them, and they answered. And I said, what in the hell did you do? And he goes, well, he says, I'm really sorry, but, you know, we really kind of needed that, and we were in trouble. And I said, I'm going to get fired from my job. I trusted you people. I said, you even gave me updates on the progression of this manufactured home. And I ended up calling the company. They said, we got one payment, and the home was almost done, and we sold it to somebody else because we never got any more payments. We're talking about $100,000 here.
Right.
So nobody... And I mean this. Nobody at that local police department did a damn thing. I spent 2 hours there making a report. They accepted it, and it probably went in a file someplace. So my point is that people, especially people my age, know that unless it's deadly, nobody's even going to pay any attention. So
and even
if we
when
can,
it is.
Yeah, we can find out if there is an avenue that's involved with somebody like the FBI, when we hear things like that, or just a place to report an incident like that so that they can accumulate this information and use it at some point in time, I think it would be a benefit to our society. You agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so Shelley's going to take on that challenge, and we're going to see if we can maybe make a difference in that way. That's the whole idea of this little hourly interlude that we have with all of you in the morning, is to try to make a difference in any place that we can make a difference, and a good difference, not a bad difference. So Shelley will follow through on that. So I'm going to leave that story, and we're going to start our recap. And, of course, Monday we had a great show about the unforgettable people. And it was something that I found on 60 Minutes, and it was about these people who don't forget anything. They're called the unforgettable people. And one of them was a name that most people know, Mary Lou Henner, who is an actress, a singer and dancer, was on many, she was on Taxi, she was on Evening Shade, she's been on Broadway, she's a very talented woman. And she has total recall. The thing about it, though, is it's called autobiographical memory, which means that it's about them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they remember everything that was reported on the news that day unless it pertains to them. They remember what clothes they had on, any conversations they had, what the weather was like that day because that affected their comfort, and things that were said directly to them. I found this to be amazing. And they brought on a 10-year-old boy who had just been discovered as having this gift. And in layman terms, the way they explained it was, you store your memories someplace else up there in that very cloudy cerebellum, and there's a connection for some people that where they can actually reach into that storage space and pull those things out and remember them, which I found to be amazing. And they tested it on 60 Minutes. And the folks that have been on 60 Minutes, all of them are prime age. They're not prime age. They're over prime age. Lovely, great people, been in the business a very long time, and 60 Minutes is a great show. But they laughed about how quickly they forgot everything. 3 days was about the maximum to do any kind of a recall, and I don't mean total recall. A lot of times they couldn't remember what they had for lunch 3 days ago, and I am the same place. So it was a great show, and Shelley and I brought up the Indigo Children, which I need to research so I can give us some more information about them. And I think there's lots of fun with that topic. Didn't you think so, Shelley?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it makes me think of Kevin Trudeau had a company called Mega Memory years ago. In fact, the Mega Memory course is still something that's available. I think you can buy it on Amazon, and it's sold through a couple of organizations. But it was an absolutely incredible memory course. My sister actually took part of it. She had only gotten through, I think it's like in 10 parts, she had only gotten through part one. And I had spoken to a couple people who had taken the course, and they said it was absolutely amazing because it's a little tedious to go through the beginning of it because you actually have to train your brain to work differently. But some people have this ability naturally, but you can actually train your brain to do what these people are doing. And they have you start out with this exercise, and my sister did it, and she was shocked that it worked. And they give you a list of 50 words, okay? Now, most people, you have to read the list quickly and then rewrite how many you remember. And most people might remember 10, and then that's as far as they get, okay? At the end of doing this exercise, you're able to recall all 50 words and in the order that you read them. And my sister didn't believe it was going to happen because her memory isn't that accurate. She did the exercise the first time, and like I said, she got about 10 words right. And then she did the exercise to improve the memory. And what it is, you have to link each word to something. I'm not going to go into the whole description. retested herself. She remembered every single word and in the right order. She was stunned. So there are things that people can do to, but you have to be consciously aware that you're recording something. So if you're taking a test, for instance, if you're studying for a test, there's a way to study where you're going to have more thorough and complete recall, and all it is adjusting how you do things, and that's what that whole mega memory course is. I highly recommend that if people are in situations where they're in college, they're testing a lot, they have to remember large amounts of data, or maybe they're a public speaker and they have to get up in front of people and go through like 10 points of things, something that they're recommending, you know. Blaine Athorn right now is actively teaching this mega memory course as well, and it's just brilliant. It's brilliant. But the good news about it is that you have these people that have this ability naturally, that they're already tapping into it, but other people can learn how to do it at least on a grand scale. They might not have it as thoroughly as somebody like Mary Lou Henner or somebody that has this memory pattern, but it's certainly going to be a lot more functional than the way we're taught to use our memory patterns.
Well, does a course like this or an opportunity like this, does this help people that have had damage done, you know, like a brain trauma of some kind or something that actually hindered their ability to remember things?
It may help them depending on where the damage is, because what the mega memory, I read a little bit of the course, it's based on associating emotions and images with facts, because our brain actually records things in emotions and images. So when you wrap a fact or a piece of information around those, and you can create them artificially, that's kind of what they tell you to do in the course, then you're stimulating those memory patterns. So depending on what is actually damaged in the person's brain, I don't know that it will help you recall lost memories, okay, but it can probably, I'm sure that the exercises can improve the memory function going forward, along with other things to improve the brain function, such as what we discussed before, like blue-green algae. There are things to improve brain function on its own, not just memory, but just the brain itself. Anything you do to enhance the organ itself, to give it better nutrition, to bring oxygen there, to bring nutrients there that help the brain to function better, and then you do exercises like this, I would tend to think, from a lay person's opinion, that it could only make things better, certainly wouldn't make it worse, and it would be worth trying if somebody is suffering that. But again, it would on what the damage was. Was it chemical? Was it an actual injury to a part of the brain? You know, why is the memory disrupted now? I think
there's a lot of people out there that have memory loss due to even minor concussions, because the brain is, even though it's one of our toughest organs, it's also the most easily damaged. And I'd be interested. I'll have to do some research on that one. We have a caller that would like to come in. They must have something to share about this, and I believe I know who it is, but I'm going to invite them in. Good morning. This is Renee. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
Hi, Renee. It's Linda. There was a couple things that I heard that I wanted to say about the testing and reading the 50 words, and then at the end being able to remember the 50 words in the order that they were in, that it has even gone even further than that, that you could even remember them words in alphabetical order, even if they weren't in alphabetical order at the beginning.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of these kind of testing that are going on, and they also do help, like, people that have been diagnosed with maybe beginners of Alzheimer's and stuff like that. They have been using these kind of tests to help them to keep maybe their memory longer, so they don't go into such a, you know, how it can rapidly take over somebody's brain. But they use those kind of testing for stuff like that as well.
Wow.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Alzheimer's, because while Shelley was talking, I was thinking about Alzheimer's too, and I am just a little bit aware of some of the answers to
what they're doing in the Alzheimer community. And I was a little bit aware but not real knowledgeable in the fact that they're working with things like that. And I think that if I do remember, I'm conjuring up reading something a while back. We did a show on Alzheimer's, and we did a show on when we did our week on mental illness. We talked a lot about the different trickle downs from mental illness, and Alzheimer's is in that arena. And I did read something way back then, and I didn't bring it into the show because I didn't quite understand it. But I did see that if Alzheimer's is detected very early on, especially with a younger person, not somebody who's 90 who's also got, you know, a little bit of dementia from just not being on top of their game anymore, but actual diagnosed Alzheimer's in somebody who's like 50. And I do remember reading some stuff that they were doing in Alzheimer clinics and stuff like that. So that's, I agree, that's very interesting. And, of course, you know, having Alzheimer's isn't a death sentence. So being opening some doors to the opportunity to get you in a better place with Alzheimer's is amazing and wonderful. And I hope that we see that in our lifetime, you know.
Exactly, and I think that I find that kind of stuff very interesting. And this person I'm about to bring up is a fictional character. It happens to be on one of my favorite shows, Criminal Minds. But there's more and more people like that that you hear about that can read super fast and they remember. So I guess that's what made them start thinking about using the testing on people. And so if it can help somebody remember. And they have brain teasers for, like, even children in middle school and high school where they can learn to train their brains to remember things and read faster and obtain that information in, I guess, what you would say, like, file cabinet in your brain where you can go and pull it out when you need it. So they're coming very far with that kind of stuff, and I think that is very interesting.
Well, because you have a child...
It's the same course I was talking about with the mega memory. There's also a mega speed reading, also from Kevin Trudeau. He's actually brilliant. And these, like I said, and I know people that have taken both courses. My sister only took the mega memory, but I know people that have taken the mega speed reading. And the astonishing thing about it is that you're reading faster, and yet you're retaining more of the information. You'd think that
correct.
Because it almost looks like they're skimming the page, yet already they'll read the page like in seconds, and they actually got more than I did. It's astonishing.
Yes, it's amazing what the human brain can do if you just know how to use the brain, because we use very little bit of our brain, and if we could use all of it, it's amazing the things that we could do.
Well, I think what I started to say earlier is you have a child in school. So are they offering anything like this in public school, Linda, that you know of?
Yes, they do have websites for them to go on, and they call them teasers and stuff like that. But, yes, they do have things that they can go on the computers and do. There's things to do with math, reading, and stuff like a bunch of different things. And it was really amazing when Kaylee pulled it up. Me and Danny kind of like kicked her off and started doing it because it was so interesting. We were amazed that they were offering it. So they do have websites. Ask your local school if you have children, and they're very beneficial for adults as well because I couldn't, you know. It's very interesting, and it does work if you apply it. And you think you're having a fun and, you know, good time, you know, but you are actually learning and training your brain to obtain more information and more quickly.
Mm-hmm. I did read an article the other day, too, about, you know, like brain teasers and that, and they've been putting that on my Facebook page, and I get emails about it, some of those little I don't know, like puzzles and things like that, and they tell you that if you do those on a regular basis that you can actually enhance your memory, your ability to work things out, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that that's true. I'm sure. I know older people who have no education, because if you talk to people that are 20 to 30 years older than me, which would make them in their 90s, a lot of them had a very, very limited education. And depending on where they grew up, what kind of money was to be had in their family, a lot of young women quit school by eighth grade. And usually meant they could read, and usually meant that they could, you know, function with a recipe and things like that and follow instructions. But it often meant that their education was relatively limited. And if they grew up entertaining themselves by reading, they're very smart, even in their 90s. You know, you see a difference with those people. You really see a difference with those people. My mom graduated from high school, but my dad, I remember lovingly, used to make fun of her a lot because she could not spell for anything. She spelled picnic, P-I-K-N-I-K, hospital, H-O-S-P-I-D-L-E. I mean, it was like, and Dad would just razz her something fierce. And as she got older, she did crossword puzzles. She was an avid reader. When they were both in their 50s, I believe my mother had a much larger vocabulary than my father did, and that was why. So there's a lot to be said for informing
On this topic, we were talking about Alzheimer's, and it's a really big topic, so I think maybe we should devote a show to it. But there are natural ways of reversing Alzheimer's. Even when somebody's been hospitalized with it, there were some articles in some of the books I read on vegetarianism where when they lightened up the person's diet, gave them specific nutrients that improved brain function and cleaned up their health care products, that in the vast majority of cases, the Alzheimer's memory damage reversed, and the people started having normal memory patterns. They remembered who they were, and most of the people in this study were actually able to leave the hospital. So I'm talking about cases advanced enough where the people were already hospitalized from it. There was a magazine I used to get called Vegetarian Times, and this is about a decade ago, and they had done a whole spread on this, talking about the hospitals and the doctors and everything. But Alzheimer's is not irreversible. People think it is, and that's not the case. It can be improved upon. It may not be able to be reversed completely, depending on at what stage it's caught, but it is a reversible disease, and it's also preventable if you do things to protect your brain now. One of the things I stopped using is antiperspirants, because antiperspirants, not deodorant, I use deodorant, but I stopped using antiperspirants over 15 years ago, when all these studies came out linking the lead-based aluminum, the aluminum-based antiperspirant formula to Alzheimer's. There's a direct link there. So I stopped. And then there's other cleaning products that do that also. But antiperspirants is probably one of the biggest factors in leading to Alzheimer's, because you're clogging, you're not allowing the body to get rid of toxins, and you're absorbing that aluminum. So you're actually doing a twofold damage to the body. You're supposed to sweat. That's how you get rid of toxins. And when you prevent the body from sweating and you're putting this aluminum-based formula there, you're getting a double hit.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the other unhealthy things about that. Okay, so I'm already down to 20 minutes, and we're still on Monday's show. Interesting information, and I do think that if you have the ability to research online, and you are middle-aged and you are dealing with a very multifaceted lifestyle, do that for yourself. I mean, because you know, the way things are going today, we could all last into our hundreds, and who wants to do it sitting in a chair just staring out the window? I don't. So I think it's good to keep ourselves healthy in our body and in our mind. So Tuesday we didn't do a show because yours truly got called away. Wednesday, we did a great show with Monica Swift from North Carolina. We talked about staph infections, MRSA. We talked about the benefits of turmeric, cinnamon, black pepper, cayenne. We talked about all those things. And ironically, the very next day, I opened up my Facebook page, and here's a recipe for delicious warm or cold turmeric milk that you can make with almond milk, turmeric, two dates, a little ginger, and a little cinnamon. And you blend it all together, and it's still on my Facebook page if anybody would like to see the recipe. And I was thinking to myself, I should make some because it's so cold out, I could serve it warm. And of course, if you are a chocolate freak, you could always put some raw cacao or something like that in it to flavor it a little bit more. But incredibly healthy for a myriad of things. Shelley and I are advocates of turmeric already because we know the benefits of it. But we also talked about raw honey. We talked about a honey that can be purchased on and the difference between Manuka honey, Manuka raw organic honey versus the honey that you buy in the store. And I talked about boils, which is a big thing here in South Florida. I do not have one man in my life that here in Florida hasn't had a boil at least once. Sometimes because they work outside, they get stabbed with a bougainvillea thorn, they get a boil. They get bit by a spider, they get a boil. They sweat so much and they have hairy chests, a hair turns around, and with all the moisture in their body, actually the end of the hair replants itself and you get an ingrown hair, and that forms a boil because the body's trying to get rid of that hair. She told us about this Manuka honey and the ability to use that topically as well as using it medicinally by mouth. And I can't wait to get some and use it on, I mentioned one of my grandchildren who has real problems with this and has suffered from cystic acne and things like that. But every man, I mean, Linda can attest to this, almost every
man. Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. Where can I get some? And I'll try it and let you know how it turns out.
By the way, I researched that after the show. Because I find a lot of things on, not everything that I find on Amazon is cheaper, but I would say probably 90% of what I look for I can get cheaper, and I have a Prime membership, which means I don't pay for shipping. And I researched the Manuka honey, and they have at least 8 or 9 different brands that are available through Amazon. Most of them were available with the Prime, so if anybody has a Prime account, which means you don't pay for shipping, I think more than half of them were available with Prime, so no additional charge. They were fairly reasonable in price, and they had, she was talking about that you have to look at the grade, minimum of 10 plus. They had ones on there that were 16 plus. They even had one on there that was an ointment that I think was like 400 plus, so that's very potent. But there were some there from New Zealand, and I forgot where the other one was from. But they were all listed as raw Manuka honey. Some of it was edible, and some of it was put in a topical ointment form. So it had a different delivery system. So you wouldn't be able to eat that one. But some of them had a dual purpose where you could ingest it and also use it topically. And there were other tubs that were strictly for topical use.
Well, I thought... next Wednesday when we have Monica on the show, I'm going to give her a heads up so she can do some research on this. But I also have a lot of family members that just have skin things. Like my youngest son was born with eczema. And it's pretty much under control these days unless he gets real cold and his skin doesn't chap. It gets like, it breaks open.
Yeah.
His knuckles behind his knees, in his in the bend of his elbow, things like that. And I know that Linda has issues with the skin, and a lot of, and I have sunspots I have horrible sunspots that I don't leave alone, I want to say, and so does David. And I think that's what I'd like to get some of this for. But I'm going to ask Monica to, matter of fact, I'll call her today and talk to her about this so she can start researching about any kind of creams. And, of course, they live in North Carolina, and they're snowed in up on the hill, so they understand cold weather and the affliction from drying out your skin. And, of course, I know about omega oils, and I know about all the kind of things that keep your skin emollient. But in some cases, the skin just has issues, and I don't know what causes it, but some people have incredibly itchy, dry skin, and it's usually
a horrible feeling.
Yeah,
it is horrible feeling. It's almost a burning sensation you get, and sometimes you think it's the cold or other things that here lately. As you said, my skin, I have very, where sometimes it'd be fine, and other times it just tears right open because of the dryness or the, you know, you can't do a wake up in the middle of the night itching it because it's horrible. So definitely when you have the show on that would be very interesting to turn into.
You know, I'll have to look in my old records, but when I had, Rini remembers this, I had the shingles at one time all over my chest. I had shingles, a staph infection, and eczema all simultaneously in the same area of skin that went from my waist up to my collarbone. I mean, I was just in an agony for a couple of months until it got diagnosed. And I went to a naturopathic doctor because what the medical doctor wanted me to do was just utter nonsense. So I went to my naturopath instead, and he put me on a protocol to heal the skin both internally and externally. It took, within a couple of days, I already started seeing relief. But he gave me a pellet, and I'll have to look for this, a homeopathic pellet to place under my tongue, and it's specifically for skin integrity, to help the body repair skin cells. Another thing that people need to know is, I'm a vegetarian, but I do eat eggs at times. The cholesterol in eggs actually helps the body to create new skin cells. So if you are a vegan or if you're somebody who is a strict vegetarian and you choose not to eat anything that has cholesterol in it, cholesterol is not necessarily a bad thing. You can have some cholesterol in your diet. And you should have some because that's how the body creates new skin cells. So if you have any kind of a diet or if you're taking medication that reduces your cholesterol levels, you're also reducing the cholesterol you need in order to replace cells. And that's why a lot of people get skin conditions if they have any cholesterol issues or if they're taking cholesterol medication. So that's just an interesting point to put out there.
Do you get enough cholesterol, Linda?
Well, I'm not really sure. I don't really eat that much of the eggs and stuff like that, so I really don't think so, but that's something I'm definitely going to keep an eye on, and I'll keep a log on it because that's something that's never been brought to my attention. When
but
I went to my
Kay
doctor.
John has a book out there that he talks about this. He talks about the cholesterol connection to cholesterol-lowering medications and how it's causing so many other disorders. It also causes brain dysfunction because you need cholesterol in your brain sheaths in order to have conductivity. So a lot of the cholesterol-lowering medications are also at the root of Alzheimer's. There's been a lot of studies about that too. But the reason I know that this is true, because I experienced it myself, I was not healing. After 2 months, my skin got worse and worse and worse, and then it was just like, it looked like there was a red blanket on the front of me. I was just raw. I was in intense pain, and when they did my blood work, because I was a vegan at the time, my cholesterol count was way, way low. Now, any doctor would look at it and say, oh, this is a really good cholesterol reading, but it was so low that my body could not replace my skin cells. So when my naturopath looked at it, he didn't have me start eating eggs back there. He put me on a vegan supplement, and I can also find the name of that, that actually increases your cholesterol numbers but does it naturally. And that's what I'm saying. Literally, within a couple of days of taking this pellet and this vitamin, I got to find out what they are so I can share it, My skin started healing after 2 months, going to a medical doctor, not getting any relief, putting salves on the thing. I mean, I was just in agony. And within, I think it was like 3 or 4 days after taking these two pellets that are strictly for skin cells, my body started healing. It was incredible.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look into, because I did the same thing, going to what a regular doctor and then sent to a specialist for over a year for them to try to find out what was going on. And, of course, the first thing they wanted to do is put me on medication, and it wasn't like cholesterol medication. It's pain medication or anxiety medication and stuff like that, which is not good for you at all.
Right.
When there's so many remedies that you can take that are natural and good for you. And doctors nowadays, that's the first thing they want to do. Oh, well, just put you on this and take the, put a Band-Aid on it, not fix the
right.
problem itself.
Right.
Well, and I think that I'm glad you mentioned that, Linda, because I think that is a big thing, and that, of course, is the problem. We slam medical doctors a lot on this show, and we don't mean to do that because we have complete respect and we understand that. However, they get caught up in, what they learn and what they're taught. And very often these issues like psoriasis and like eczema, I mean, David had eczema when he was 3 months old. He was not anxious about a damn thing. He was a happy, happy baby. So something else was awry. Something else was going on in his system. And, of course,
right.
I tell this story a lot. We moved to Florida. He was just a little guy, went to go in the water, the salt water in the ocean, and jumped back out. He says, Mommy, I can't go in there. It stings me everywhere. I said, just sit on the sand, and relax. While we're here in Florida, maybe some of that stuff on your skin, maybe the warm weather will help with it. Well, 2 hours later, there he is in the water, because the more he sat in the salt, the more soothing it became. The stinging subsided, and he never had eczema again. Never. So the salt water helped him. And, of course, in the salt water, in the ocean is incredibly therapeutic. I talk about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In the ocean, there are parasites. And if you have something going on in your skin, hour after, but if you have something going on in your skin, there's little parasites that will eat away that dead skin and clean up your skin. So I think the ocean is the biggest therapeutic asset we have living near the ocean, is that it is incredibly medicinal. And even it's medicinal if all you want to do is go sit on the beach and look at it and breathe the air. But we need to get on. Monica's show was great. She'll be on every week is my game plan. Yesterday we talked at length about Cochlear, which is a hearing technology that Shelley brought to us. We had a lot of questions about it, and I'm hoping in the next few days we can talk about that again, because I gave Shelley some questions. She had some questions of her own, and we also had a guest on yesterday who told us that one of her family members used this technology and was very, very happy with it. Then yesterday we also talked a little bit about Jahi, the young girl that had the emergency tonsillectomy and has been declared in a hospital in California as brain dead. And her family didn't want to disconnect her from life support because they don't want to lose her. And I think most of us moms, parents, understand that.
I'm sorry, I have a question about that, because I was just thinking about that yesterday, because it's so incomprehensible as a mother that they made her sign a death certificate when she's actually holding her daughter's warm hands. I mean, I know she's on life support and stuff, but it's just so I can't even put it into words how that mother must feel. It brings me to tears. And I tuned in late yesterday, so I must have not heard that part of the show, but that is the most incredible thing I've heard in a while, that they actually made her sign a death certificate for her daughter.
Well, and I mean, even, you know, it says something to you. It speaks a little bit to you by the fact that the judge, a judge who's not a medical man, I don't think, I'm assuming he isn't. Some judges are, I guess. But he gave a stay of execution, so to speak, twice until they figured out what they were going to do. And now, according to all the information that's out there, she's in some kind of a hospital or a rest home. And but the reason I brought her up yesterday was because of all the derogatory comments. And I posted it on my Facebook page. And I had read some of them previously, talk about how, you know, if her mother loves her so much, why'd she let her get so fat? Or, you know, these are black people, so
oh,
they're
not
horrible. Educated to understand that their child is really dead. I mean, so a man, I read his commentary yesterday on the show, he wrote an article that said, you know, what is wrong with us? And I agree. What is wrong with us? If you're not walking in somebody else's shoes, then you ought to keep your mouth shut. Giving friendly advice, Shelley and I, you know, discussed this a little bit that day, and I said, sometimes advice isn't welcome. And even if you know better, you almost have to be invited in. It's a lot like the show that the three of us love, Criminal Minds. Criminal Minds cannot give advice unless what? What do they have to do?
They have to do a profile. They have to go
but
through every, you know.
What happens?
They have to be invited into the case.
Oh, yes,
that's
exactly.
Right. Be invited into the case before they can offer any advice. So, anyway, that was a great show, and I think we're all waiting to see what's going to happen with Jahi, and every time we talk about her, I make sure I send our love and our warmth and our good energy out to that family, because I can almost feel the heaviness in the air that surrounds them. I can almost feel it when I think about them. So
it actually brings me to tears.
I mean, even if you're not a mom, or Shelly's not a mom, but Shelly feels the same way.
That's right. I do. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are certain surgeries that you go in for. Like I said, nobody's really ever talked about what happened before she went into surgery, but certain surgeries just carry an aura of low risk around them, tonsillectomy being one of them, although because of her age, there might have been complications, and I'm just, it's always been a point with me as to what these parents were told before she went in with this procedure. I'm wondering if they were really advised of the risks, you know, and that you
yeah.
and I also know that there are so many different ways of dealing with sleep apnea that don't require surgery, that require lifestyle changes. And, you know, it's just so tragic that they thought surgery was their only option. And obviously, because they made that decision, they did think surgery was their only option. And it's just not the case. I remember I had talked about my ex-husband, who he and I befriended each other about a year and a half ago. And he had gained 200 pounds during the time that we were divorced. Because of surgeries he had, he was put on a lot of steroids, and after he was put on the steroids, he had two hip replacements from a motorcycle accident. And from the surgeries, he was put on a lot of steroids. Well, he just blew up. He gained all this weight, and it was as a result of the drugs he was taking. And but he acquired sleep apnea because of all the weight he gained. So he knew where the sleep apnea was coming from, and he was on a sleep apnea machine, and his legs would swell up at night when he would sleep. So I told him to start drinking lemon water, a big glass of
lemon
water.
Honey, I got to shut you up. We're out of time. And I want to – that story is important, but I don't have time to say goodbye to everybody. So I want to thank you girls very much. It was a very interesting show. And again, I – challenge Shelley to get a hold of the FBI and see what happens. I'm looking forward to that information. And I want to remind everybody that our friend Fred is tomorrow, and the reception is at my house if any of our local friends are listening. So everybody go out there and have a great day. God bless, and we'll be back Monday morning. Thank you, girls.
Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Bye-bye.